As we've seen on this show, all kinds of people can find success. Did you know that 34% of tech professionals don't have a bachelor's degree? Skills First Hiring isn't just inclusive, it is the smart strategy to expand your tech talent pipeline. And finding the right tech talent isn't just hard, it's mission critical. And yet many enterprise employers still rely on outdated methods or platforms that just don't deliver. In today's market, hiring tech professionals isn't just about filling roles, it's about outpacing competitors. But with niche skills, hybrid preferences, and high salary expectations, it's never been more challenging to cut through the noise and connect with the right people. And that's where Indeed comes in. Indeed isn't just a job board, it is your tech hiring partner. As the number one site where tech talent applies to jobs, Indeed gives you direct access to over 3 million U.S. tech professionals, 86% of whom have applied through the platform. So post your first job and get $75 off at Indeed.com/tech talent. That's Indeed.com/tech talent to claim this offer. Indeed, built for what's now and what's next in tech hiring.
Why are businesses like HelloVet choosing Apple products and services?
So we started the business 2 years ago. We had a few people who were used to PCs, and this was their first foray into Macs. But it's been super smooth getting everyone onto those devices, and everyone seems really, really happy.
Find out how Mac can help you run and grow your business at apple.co/HelloVet.
Hey everyone, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Thank you for checking us out. So if you are the type of person who obsesses over the latest and greatest sneakers, comic books, chicken sandwiches, art, culture, you're probably familiar with Complex, the media brand founded by Mark Echo that started off as a kind of cool kids Bible back in 2002. And holy crap, was that a long time ago, which makes me feel really old. And I think I just broke a hip saying that. Anyway, so this week's snack, I spoke with Aaron Levant, who has been CEO of Complex for nearly 2 years and has steered this media brand to become a powerful force in commerce and events. So Aaron is a serial entrepreneur in the truest sense of the word. And by that, I mean, dude has done a lot. He started in the streetwear industry as a designer, and he founded Agenda, which was an independent streetwear sneaker action sports trade show that went huge and was eventually sold to ReedPop, which owns massive, massive consumer events like Comic-Con, for example. So Adam worked inside of ReedPop for a while, learning all he could while launching partnerships with the likes of Lucasfilm and Disney. And he also met Mark Echo and co-created Complex Con, which was a physical manifestation of this cool kids brand. Then he went on to found a streaming commerce platform called Network, which is spelled N-T-W-R-K. So apologies if I wasn't supposed to say Network. I'm not a cool kid. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway, around 2023, he saw a chance to actually buy Complex from its current owner, which at the time was BuzzFeed. He lined things up, and in March of 2024, he acquired and merged Complex with Network. Okay, are you exhausted yet? Because I am. And believe me, there's a lot more in there, but those are the highlights among highlights. So obviously, this guy, Aaron, has made some very, very good decisions and made some big bets that have paid off over the years. So getting into the chat, I asked him first what he credits his success to. I mean, what does Aaron know that we don't know? And as he told me, sometimes nothing.
I like to use the phrase, ignorance is rich. And what I mean by that is, When you know too much about something, you become institutionalized with fear. And you learn all the constraints. You learn the rules and the regulations and the gatekeepers and the whatever. And when I've been successful in business is when I kind of stumbled into something naively and kind of bounced around and hit the walls that other people who know a lot about it go, I wouldn't go down that hallway because that hallway's a dead end. And I just kind of walked down it, whatever that metaphorical hallway is in any random business that I've been in over the last 25 years. And by kind of having a naivete around certain industries and certain constructs, I've actually fallen into success because I wasn't scared to try something that the industry veterans or the gatekeepers, they know, oh, you can't do that, or that guy won't say yes, or whatever. I just kind of, you know, or walk up to the president of Nike and say, hey, you want to do this little thing with me? And they're, oh, you can't ask him. Like this like institutionalized with fear is really the biggest thing. And that's been, I think, my biggest thing that I've learned along the way is like, you know, you have to be dumb enough to try.
We'd all love to bat 1,000 when it comes to making bets and trying new things. But unfortunately, that is never, ever, ever, ever the case. And I asked Aaron if he ever had any regrets about pursuing some of those things that maybe didn't work out or didn't go the way he wanted. And he was like, no, trying is the only way to know.
Nothing ever haunts me. You got to break a lot of eggs to make an omelet. You got to try a bunch of stuff. I go back to that ignorance is rich thing. I wandered down a lot of hallways. And maybe I wish we didn't do that. Like maybe we had too many at-bats. We tried too many things. If you read enough business books, talk about focus. Maybe we're not focused enough, but some of the weird experiments that we tried in the basement ended up being some of our most successful things. You never know what's going to be what. So I'm never scared to try. Maybe sometimes wish we'd have taken smarter bets or not tried so many bets. But we're constantly iterating, experimenting. Live right now is our biggest experiment. And if you sometimes look at the initial, some people are too quick to give up. And like, you look at like our initial data on live streaming on Twitch, et cetera. The data wasn't that compelling. It wasn't that many people. But all of a sudden last night we had a moment. We went out to this music show and interviewed this musician backstage live, and it's been going crazy on X today. Think from that. And it's like, you just need that moment for somebody to tip over. You got to keep pushing because it's like, if it just played the data or just played the conventional wisdom, we wouldn't try enough things. We'd just be boring and be doing the same shit. So like, it's the opposite. We try everything for better or worse.
So in a lot of conversations I have with entrepreneurs and business leaders, live experiences really seem to be a hot topic. So I asked Aaron why these cons are seemingly having their moment these days.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in experiential broadly. And while I run a large digital media company, and that's where the majority of our revenue comes from, our digital activity through media and e-commerce, and events is still the smallest part of our business by revenue, I believe it's one of the most important parts of our business. And the analogy I often give people, and I'm in a meeting talking to senior marketers, I ask them, I say, hey, do you have Instagram on your phone? They go, yes, of course. I go, did you lie in bed this morning and look at it and like a few things? They go, yeah. I go, what did you like? And 9.5 out of 10 people cannot recall what they liked. I say, yeah, there's some marketer on your team sitting on the other end of that going, oh, we had great engagement on this post. And then I ask them, you ever been to Coachella? Or do you ever go to this? Do you remember it? Can you describe it to me? And they have a visceral memory. So I'm very bullish on experience because it creates real tactile emotional connection between fans and your brand, whatever your brand may be, whether you're Coca-Cola or you're Complex and everything in between. It's a really important touch point. While you can affect less people through the doors of your event, those people have a really meaningful, long-lasting connection that they're going to remember 10 years from now. And the opposite of that, oh, I like to post on Instagram or TikTok this morning, I literally can't remember what it is, right? So we are investing heavily in experience.
So a big part of success in the live events biz is getting people to get off the couch and come. Not a very easy thing to do if you've ever tried it. So I asked Aaron what he's found to be the thing that turns casual fans into diehards and has made Complex Cons such a success.
And it gets down to fandom. And it's like, hey, if you're a fan of broad pop culture, comic culture, movie culture, entertainment culture, whatever, hey, when George Lucas comes to debut the new Star Wars trailer in person at Comic-Con San Diego or New York or whatever that analogy is, that is such a magical moment for those Star Wars fans or for those entertainment fans, right? And it's like, we just need to take the equivalents in our culture. It's debuting a new sneaker. It's debuting a new album. It's debuting a new whatever, right? So How do we bring new-to-world products, content, experiences, and allow the fans to rub shoulders with the people they obsess over on a year-round basis online? And if we could do that, we knew that it would be meaningful. And we could get not one talent or one brand, but hundreds of them. And last weekend, we had 500 talent influencers and content creators in one room, right? And that ranges from the biggest, most popular rappers, musicians, athletes, influencers, streamers, to mid-tier. But like, you know, that value proposition and then 380 brands creating experiences and dropping exclusive products you can only buy there, and then you can meet your favorite person who actually created and designed those products or collaborated in real life. You could walk up and talk to them. That's what makes people want to leave their house. You could sit in your room and tap like and watch a video and do whatever, but like literally in one day, not just see one person, but see all your favorite people in one place. It's like a Disneyland of your fandom in one place. So yeah, that's really what we think about and how to make the value proposition so extreme. You're like, how could I not go?
How could you not go? Well, sadly, it is a time to go because this snack is over. But I want to thank Aaron for those incredible insights. And I want to thank you for listening, subscribing, and hint, hint, sending us a comment. We would love to hear your feedback. So stick it in whatever podcast thingy-maboob you use, and we'll read it, and maybe we'll read your comment on the air. Well, if it's mean, we won't. But anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And you can subscribe to our newsletter at info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. You can also check out my Substack, This Should Be Fun, for some silliness from me that has nothing to do with success and has everything to do with my failures in, I don't know, getting my dog to stop barking. And as always, please do check out the band Nika RPM on Bandcamp. They're the ones playing this song that you might currently be grooving to. All right, get off the couch, get out there, and do something. See you next time.